you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member, you'll know a thing or two about an expertly packed capsule wardrobe that balances business and leisure. So you can go from conference sleek to cocktail party chic with a few new accessories. You can hustle from 9 to 5 before exploring with ease from 5 to 9. Because you're the chief excursion officer. The Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card. If you travel, you know. Learn more at go.amex/business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to another episode of Paper Route. I'm Corey Holmes. I got Ashley Nicole Moss with me, and later on, we're going to have our basketball contributor, Stephen Stack Jackson, join us. But yo, we got a birthday in the building today.
We do.
It is Brandon the Beast Marshall's birthday today. So
it's his 80th birthday, y'all.
Of course, we had to start the show wishing Boss Man a happy birthday.
How are you feeling today, birthday boy? You want me to sing?
You know what, Ashley? We tried that a couple days ago.
Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. That's all I got.
Yes, sir.
That's all I got.
I'm done with singing, Ashley. I appreciate that, you know, and I'm grateful for you. And I'm grateful for you as well, Corey. But I thought we got over you singing, Ashley, even on my birthday.
I mean, I just want to know, how does it feel to be 85 years old?
How does it feel?
You've seen a lot of life in 85 years, Brandon Marshall. How does it feel?
You know what? I feel great. You know, obviously, I don't look like T.O. Got a big race against T.O. coming up. So hopefully in 6 weeks, I look the way I feel. Actually, I'm actually about to enter my prime. Mm. If I'm telling you guys the truth, I feel like, you know, the last few years is almost like being in college. You're a collegiate athlete. You really want to get to the next
level. A lot of college years.
It's tough. Well, see, as an athlete, it can be tough, right, depending on what you're aiming for. And so you got to get up at 5 a.m., you got mat drills, you got study hall. There's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of stress. So for me now, I feel like I'm entering into my senior year. Mm. I feel like 40 to 50 is about to be my prime. I'm being honest. I know a lot of people, we talked about, we celebrated you when you turned 30. And there's a lot of people when they hit these different milestones, whether it's 21, 30, they start feeling something. For me, I feel freaking phenomenal.
Well, they actually do say, I believe 40 to 60 is when it's considered a man's prime. Mm. And I know it's interesting because, like, when you think of athletes, right? Yeah. Athletes are kind of like, it's a little bit backwards because when you're in your 20s, they say men are in their prime normally 40 to 60 because that's when you make your most money. But for athletes, that comes so much earlier, but you really don't get the life experience in terms of not being on a routine until you retire. So it's like a different kind of prime. Yeah, so it may not be the money prime. It's more of like the life prime. Whereas for like regular folks, that's usually when you start making your most money, when you hit your prime. So it's interesting. Yeah. But happy 85th, Brandon Marshall.
Happy birthday, boss man. But all right, let's get into this show. But before I say anything else, we got to throw to a highlight of yesterday's episode. Oh, let's take a look at it real quick, guys.
Well, okay, let me tee it up. We should tee it up.
Yeah, because let's give it a little context.
Brandon Marshall and I made a bet. Now, in my defense, I did not know, the news did not come out that Ja Morant was coming off the bench until much later in the day after we already made this bet. So had I known that he was not starting, I would have never made this bet. I truthfully feel like I was hoodwinked, bamboozled, whatever the case may be. But we had this bet. A budget of $700 glasses were on the line if Ja Morant went under or over his 27 points per game. He had, 15, 18?
17.
Granted, he came off the bench. It wasn't, my whole bet was on the premise of him being a starter. So I feel like technically I shouldn't even have to pay.
Boss man sporting some new shades saying, like, I might have another pair on the way, huh?
It is Gucci. And later on in the show, we got Stack, Big Stack coming on. And, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait until he's on to ask him what type of shades I should invest in, because he turned into a low-key frame guy.
Yeah. Brandon makes more money than me, and I got to buy him glasses?
Well, hold on. Let's give the people that clip. For all who didn't get to see it yesterday, we got that clip ready for him.
If Jaw goes over, because you're picking an over, and I'm picking an under.
Yeah.
If Jaw goes over, I owe you a pair of glasses. Because you've been rocking a lot of glasses. Yes.
I know Celine you're not on talking. Monday.
And then Prada on
Man's
Wednesday.
Man's walked in with a with a bag, a bag full of correct. Gucci glasses.
Don't nobody know that. If it's not on television, if you don't post about it, nobody knows. What we do know is on Monday, Ashley Nicole Moss had on Celine's. And then on Wednesday, she's now wearing Prada. Okay? So you're a glasses person. If he goes over, I owe you glasses. Your budget is $700 because I know glasses can get crazy. The budget's $700, okay? And if he goes under, you owe me, okay? Mm-hmm. You deal?
Mm-hmm.
Shake on it.
I'm a witness. Oh, she's not shaking?
I didn't shake it. I can't reach that far.
Shake my hand right. All right,
I'm a witness.
I didn't even want to make the bet. I don't gamble. This is why I don't listen for everybody. This is why I don't gamble. This is why I don't place wagers. Like the first time I ever gambled was in the Bahamas, Russian roulette, and it was my birthday. I actually won money, but like that was beginner's luck. I'm not a gambler. Like I was set up to fail. This is just like,
So listen, look, we'll talk about Ja and the Grizzlies a little bit later when we bring on our basketball contributor Stack. We'll also talk the Mavs and the Warriors game last night. It was a pretty awkward series events in that game. But first, we got to start with, you know, something that the Jets had done yesterday, right? So they had a series of transactions. One was the addition of wide receiver Mecole Hardman. And the other was the trade of Elijah Moore to the Browns, right? So in that trade, they sent third-year wide receiver Elijah Moore and a third-round pick in this year's draft to the Cleveland Browns in return for a second-round pick. Now, the New York Jets hold both the 42nd and 43rd pick in this year's draft. Now, what I want to know is, was this a move, right, by the Jets to kind of acquire something to include in that Aaron Rodgers trade? Brandon, I want to ask you first. You think that's what their intentions were with this move?
If it get feisty, yeah. You know, and they need to, you know, bring a little bit more ammo to the table, I would say yes. But I think the Jets are in prime position because they already have Aaron Rodgers, right? And they have their plan in place. They know what it will take to get Aaron Rodgers over there. A lot of people – a couple of weeks ago when I start calling around, a lot of people said it's a two, right? Mm-hmm. But the problem is when you have Aaron Rodgers going to Pat McAfee show and he says that I'm the greatest Green Bay Packer ever, and he said he pretty much said it's not really a debate, right? And, you know, what happens is that the team's going to look at it and say, okay, if that's the case, in which they did, if that's the case, then why would we just give you away for a two? Hell, I went for a two and a four in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
A wide receiver, I would say, since it's my birthday, really good wide receiver. At the time, I was top three wide receiver in the league, but I went for a two and a four. So if you're Aaron Rodgers, you know, the Green Bay Packers are sitting here saying, why would I give him away? They want a one. But the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, and I say and Aaron Rodgers because they're collaborating on this, they're smart. They're like, no, I'm playing 1 year, 2 years, Ashley, and that's it. You know, you're not going to go mortgage the future for a guy that's going to play 1 or 2 years. And I think the baseline may be Brett Favre deal. Remember, Brett Favre was in the same situation at the end of his career, and then he went to the Jets and he went to Minnesota. It's the same deal. Nobody's going to give up a crazy bag for Aaron Rodgers because you also got to account for this. They're taking on $60 million in salary.
Yeah, right.
$60 million. Mm-hmm. So that's also a part of the deal, and sometimes we forget that. This is a numbers game. This is a business. So we look at the compensation as far as, you know, how many picks are they giving up? Are they going to add a player or two in this deal? Sometimes when you look at the salary cap and guys are holding those big tags, you got to account for that as well. And that's how the Jets are looking at it. And I like this, Ashley. Elijah Moore, you know, I kept talking about Elijah Moore. I was like, don't forget about Elijah Moore. Don't forget about Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore is a dog. And I like Elijah Moore in the Cleveland Browns uniform. Deshaun's over there. I like what they're doing. Hell, they may even win that division. Yeah. You talk about what's happening in Baltimore. You talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, they'll be better. But, man, that division's wide open. If Deshaun can get back to where he was a couple years ago, this may be scary. But this wide receiver core is shaping up nicely in New York, Ashley.
Definitely, yeah. Ashley, what are your thoughts on those transactions from yesterday?
I mean, yeah, they're surrounding Aaron Rodgers with as many offensive weapons as possible, right? Mm. Because they know when you draft a quarter, or not draft, when you trade for a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, or, you know, whatever the case may be, you are, for as talented as he is, there is a window of opportunity there. Mm-hmm. He's almost 40, or if he is 40, 39, he's 40. Let's just round it up. He's Brandon's age. He's 85. The window of opportunity to win is a lot smaller than, you know, a guy who's in his 20s.
Right.
And that's not a knock on Rodgers. It's just father time is undefeated, and that's just what the case is. So you have to go ahead and strike while the iron's hot, and you have to surround him with as much offensive talent as possible. Defensively, they're already a great football team. Offensively, you know, you need weapons for your quarterback to make moves. And I think that they're doing everything possible to set Aaron Rodgers up for success and immediate success.
Now, on the note of surrounding him with weapons, right, the latest reports are saying that both the Jets and Odell Beckham Jr. want to get a deal done, right? The words were,
told ya.
The words were that the rumors are very real, right? So, I mean, you now include Odell Beckham in this scenario, in this situation, rather. You got Mecole Hardman.
Mm-hmm.
You got Alan Lazard. You got Garrett Wilson, who's coming off of a Rookie of the Year award, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have to take in consideration he has two pass-catching tight ends. We're talking Tyler Conklin. You're also talking about C.J. Uzoma.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, I'll start with you. Like, is this going to be the best receiving core that Aaron Rodgers has played with in his career?
No, the answer is no there. And it's not about – so you're just throwing out names.
We're talking about potential.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, Corey, but you got to think about all those great years that the Green Bay Packers had.
Mm-hmm.
Those receivers, Jordy Nelson, Donald Driver, Randall Cobb, Greg Jennings.
Yeah.
He even had Javon Walker for a little bit. And there's so many other what's his name? The other guy that's on NFL Network.
Well, I think – did you mention Jones? Did you mention Jones already?
Yes, there. Yeah. There you go. What's his name?
Is it James Jones? I might be wrong.
James Jones, sorry, no disrespect, JJ, phenomenal career.
Mm-hmm.
I just slipped my mind there, but it wasn't about the names, right? Those guys, I don't think any of them are in the top 25 or maybe even the top 30 of all-time wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Aaron Rodgers playing with guys that took the ego out the room. It was about Aaron Rodgers not putting guys in position, but everybody had a role.
Right.
Sometimes they didn't even switch sides of the field. Like, this receiver stayed on the right. This receiver stayed on the left. This receiver was our move guy. Mm-hmm. And what he does, he plays the numbers game. If you're going to take away Greg Jennings because Greg Jennings is getting off to a hot start and he got 100 yards in the first half, guess who's on the other side? You got Jones. You got Jordy Nelson over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they play simple ball, bro. This is not the Sean McVay offense. This is not the Kyle Shanahan philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that trick 'em, dick 'em type stuff. This is, look, let's go two wide. Let's go three wide. Let's go four wide.
Yeah.
Wherever they're leaning, I'm going opposite, right? I got one-on-one matchup. He's a matchup guy.
Mm-hmm.
Watch how he breaks the huddle.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers walks out the huddle slowly, very slowly, and he's just watching what all the defensive backs are doing.
Mm-hmm.
He gets under center. He may make an adjustment or two, and then it's action. This is really simple football. This dude drop back, you go left, he gonna throw a go ball. If you cover the go ball, guess what? He's still open because Aaron Rodgers is the greatest thrower of the back shoulder. You ever see that class where the dude's down the field, then he jumps up and adjusts and he catch the ball? We call them 50-50 balls, but for Aaron Rodgers and his receivers, those are 80-20s.
Mm.
So I like this receiving core, Ashley. But it's more so about chemistry and continuity than the big names.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it's always been about for Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you at least agree with this? And maybe the question should have been, this is going to be the most explosive receiving core he's played with. Could you at least co-sign that? Odell Beckham, Mecole Hardman?
No way.
The most explosive?
Listen.
The point I made earlier, too, was all of those guys, they played with Aaron Rodgers, and some of them might have played together, but, like, the point I made, Jordy Nelson, he was playing with Davante Adams towards the end of his career. There might have been a little bit of overlap, but a lot of those guys had their own separate times to really, you know, gain that rapport with Aaron Rodgers. And we saw them at different stages and different eras in Aaron Rodgers' career. He's getting these guys all at once.
Yeah, see, Ashley was making fun of me, calling me 85. Mm-hmm. See, that's the problem. Y'all – Y'all wasn't really watching the
Don't
game.
Don't say y'all. Oh, I'm not watching. Agreeing with Corey.
I was watching. I was watching.
Believe but all right, Greg well, Corey, Jennings. See, here's the problem, Corey. Uh-huh. See, you're talking about Davante Adams. I forgot about Davante Adams.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in 2006 to 2010 to 2012. Having James Jones, having Randall Cobb, having Jordy Nelson, and they had two tight ends. Mm-hmm. They had two tight ends, bro. It was man. You couldn't stop them. You could not stop them. They throwing slants. They're throwing goals and back shoulders. That's all you're going to see. Simple ball. Mm. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it. Maybe we should put a bet then. I think Aaron Rodgers, with all of those pieces, will probably have one of his best statistical years. That, in my opinion, with all of those pieces that I just mentioned.
Well, Ashley already owed me glasses, and I know she got a bigger budget than you. Corey, what do you want to bet?
Hey, I don't know. Maybe we might have to come offline, but of course it would be nice to have a video of this.
No. Place your wager right here on camera. Don't try it. What
right,
the
so
hell?
What we
going to do it behind closed doors. No,
what
sir.
What we going to do, a pair of shoes or something? You want to do a pair of shoes?
Yeah, we can do that. You got to get shoes. Shoes can get crazy. Yeah,
nah, no, they definitely can. Do shoes up to like a 250.
I can get some nice show. Now we could do like 300.
Okay, do like an even three. Yeah, do like an even three.
Maybe even 350. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hate to say it online.
Air. Place the number.
Like, you know, like some Yeezys. Some Yeezys would be nice. I could take another pair of Yeezys, but you know, I didn't know if that had been controversial to bring up Yeezy. But
why? Anyway, Yeezys are very comfortable footwear.
Exactly. I got probably about 8 pairs.
I'm wearing mine right now.
I want 9.
Thanks for putting me on blast, Andrew.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, come through. But how about we transition to Daily Route, and what we're going to do now is bring on our basketball contributor, Steven Stack Jackson. So what we got first, and let's see if we got Stack.
Yes, sir.
My man. What's going on, Stack? How we doing?
Welcome back.
How y'all doing? Feliz cumpleaños a ti. Feliz cumpleaños a ti. Feliz cumpleaños a ti. Feliz cumpleaños a ti.
My man, what a wonderful entrance. There it is. Happy birthday, boss, my dog.
Hey, I appreciate it. You got one wish, bro.
If I had one wish.
For my birthday, just one thing, simple. Can I come to your house, walk in your closet, and do a little shoe shopping?
What?
Hey, you sure can. Matt did it. Of course you can come do it, my brother.
Ooh, hey, y'all know Stack said this the first time he was on the show. Stack still got that Jordan deal. Y'all ain't know that.
But are y'all the same shoe size?
He's one of five guys that still got deals post-play. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's blessed. Definitely blessed. What up, Steph?
101. Did he say Steph?
Yeah, Steph. I told you the third. Nah, he. It's it goes.
Hey,
it goes.
Time,
Steph.
Like, I was like, did he mean to say
Seth?
Ashley? What are you talking about?
Steph, Seth, and you would be like Sam.
Yeah. Sam.
You need an S name. So Seth, Steph, and Sam. That would be your Sam Curry.
I'm weak. I like Corey in the cut. So we gonna stick with that. I like Corey in the cut. But nah, Stack. We gonna start with Ja Morant, right? So last night, Ja Morant, he scored 17 points coming off the bench. And he had a warm welcome from the crowd at the FedEx Forum, right? When he came off the bench, he received a loud standing ovation from the crowd. And in 23 minutes, he recorded 17 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists. The Grizzlies moved to 45-27 after that dub over the Rockets, and they're second in the West, right? So I want to ask you first, though, Stack, are Ja and the Grizzlies ready for a deep playoff run?
Yeah, first of all, I'm upset with the Grizzlies organization, man. How you bring this man off the bench? Y'all just feeding into all the bullshit that's been saying on social media, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, perfect example. They said he had to go talk to somebody. He really didn't need to go talk to nobody about no shit like that. Because now he had an alcohol problem. That boy didn't have no alcohol problem. He made a mistake, bro. He was having a good time and made a mistake. Leave that alone. Now, for him to come back after the suspension and you don't start him, that says a lot about the coach, man, because if I was the coach, I'd be more behind my star player. I know you already been through a lot. Why would I bring you off the bench? You know what I'm saying? Are you still the leader of this team? And I want to I want to support you and make you feel like that. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of low by the team not to start him. You know what I'm saying? Because a player of that caliber, well, I don't care what they go through. When they come back, it's still their team. You start that guy. That's one thing. The 17 points was cool, but I just feel like, you know, the response from the organization, not the fans, but the organization, should have been a lot better for Ja. They made, you know what I'm saying? They just, by not starting and all that stuff, that just put a damper on the night. He should have been coming out that starting lineup. Mm. The crowd should have been screaming his name. You know what I'm saying? It should have been that normal routine getting right back into it. The way they did it last night, I feel like they just snowballed or jumped on the bandwagon with everything that's been said about him. And then he trying to put this shit behind him. They didn't help that at all.
Yeah.
Well, let me push. Well, I'll be the bad guy.
No, here. I wanted to be the bad guy today.
Yeah, let me be the bad guy real quick, and I know the audience will be like, see, that's why we love Stack and B. Marsh. You all, yeah, I'm gonna say what need to be said, okay? Mm-hmm. But bro, you got kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, they displaying terrible behavior. All right, do you promote it? Are you going to entertain it? Like, you got to put it's punishment. So. This is just one situation. What about all the other things that we don't know about? You know, you've been in the locker room with some cats, man, that just really get over, and then the teams and some of the players is looking for that one situation to put you on blast so they can now do some course correction. Could this be Stack, the Grizzlies saying, it ain't just about this video in the club, right? We know that was a dumb mistake, and we know you 23 and you young, and you also a good kid. But, bro, how we travel, you keep going out, you keep doing different things in practice that's annoying everyone, and I'm just making up stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I'm making up stuff to say this, right? This could be their opportunity to say, you know what? If we actually lay down the law, all right, throw the hammer down, we might not have these problems for the rest of his career. Mm-hmm. Humbling. This is a humbling situation. Why would you disrupt this opportunity to get somebody back on the right path?
Well, I'm gonna tell you this. I actually shot a gun at somebody while I was in the NBA. I actually been in a fight in the stands and got suspended and lost $3 million. I didn't just show it. I actually shot it. When I got in trouble, I was with the Indiana Pacers. Donnie Walsh, Larry Bird, that organization. Yeah, we had conversations behind closed doors, but publicly, when people asked him about why did I run behind Bron and help him in the stands, Donnie Walsh straight up defended me and went to a situation where my older brother got killed and I was a couple of blocks away. You got to understand me to know why I'm so loyal. So a lot of those things that could have went south, Donnie Walsh and Larry Bird stood behind me because they knew why I was standing up and why I did the things that I did. And when it came to basketball, they didn't want to trade me to Golden State. Me being in those situations, I put them in a bad situation, so they had to trade me, so I understood that. But publicly, they never belittled me in any type of way. They stood behind me 10 toes, and I respected that because they didn't feed into what the media was saying. They knew the type of person I was. And I think the organization, they put all that money in Ja. They know what type of person he is. They invested all his money in him. So you know what you invested in before you gave him that money. So why would you jump on a bandwagon and feel like you shouldn't start him when he's still your franchise player? That just didn't sit well to me because I've been in those shoes and I seen the organization. I actually went way farther than Ja did, and I seen the organization standing behind me, and I'm not even close to being the caliber of player that Ja is.
I definitely don't agree with them not starting him. I think it was a weird thing to do for a starter, for your franchise guy, for the face of your organization and one of the faces of the NBA. But I will say that, you know, him going into counseling, you know, forever how long he did that and whether he continues it outside of that, I think that two things can be true. I don't think Ja Morant is an alcoholic, and I know that was kind of like a narrative that was pushed, but I don't think you need to be an alcoholic to abuse alcohol. And he even said, you know, he went into counseling to learn how to healthily manage his stresses. And for some people, alcohol is something that makes them less stressed out. You know, it relaxes it calms it down. And we've seen him on IG Live and he's drinking Casamigos out of a bottle. Do I think he has an addiction problem? No, but I do think it's fair to maybe assume that maybe he uses alcohol to mask stresses, and it's an abuse, not necessarily an addiction. So I think that that's true. But I think that I want to ask you this, because I know that you went ahead and put out a video saying that you didn't think that Ja Morant needed counseling. He didn't have to go into there. You know, you spoke about your own personal experience of having to speak to someone after, you know, the fight broke out in Detroit and things like that. And people were assuming that you were like anti-therapy and you were anti people, you know, going and seeking help and talking to somebody. Is that what you meant? Or did you just make it more specific to Ja Morant?
Well, I mean, it's for me, it was pretty clear what I said. You know what I'm saying? For me and Ron, they asked us to speak to somebody, and I know that had nothing to do with me making the corrections and the things and the person I am today. I knew the mistakes I made. I knew what I had to do. Every time I met with that lady, she was a wonderful person, but I got nothing out of that. I went into it not expecting to get nothing out of it because I knew I didn't need to talk to nobody. Mm-hmm. I knew for the team asked me to do it and the NBA asked me to do it to get back on the court. That's why I did it. And a lot of guys do it for that reason. But for me, I can speak for myself. If people need therapy, they have to make their own decision for them. But for me, I didn't need the person I am today, the decisions I made, the corrections I made, the changes I made in my life. Mm-hmm. I made that because I was raised with morals and I know right from wrong. I know what I was doing wrong and I know what I need to correct to get my life going in the right direction. I didn't need nobody to tell me that.
Do you feel let me just follow this up real quick, Brandon. Do you feel that Ja went in because it was forced upon him? Or do you think that maybe it was a moment where the dominoes all fell and everything comes crashing down at once? You know, the alleged incidences off the, you know, court with the kids and the pickup game and going to the mall and things like that, the brandishing of the gun, the releasing of the photos of him in the strip club, which was disgusting, by the way, like privacy.
And it was low by the strip club.
Nobody should ever have seen those photos, but that's a different conversation. Do you think that it was just kind of like a snowball effect that maybe him and the people around him said, let's hit pause and let's figure out how we can readjust before it gets too far that we can't do that? Is that a possibility?
I think for me, just my opinion, and I could be wrong. I could be wrong, Ashley. I really feel like it was the NBA and the Grizzlies coming together saying, look, bro, before we take it all, kick you out the league and suspend you, this is what we're going to do. We don't want to do it because we know you're making us a lot of money. Let's just send you to this place to make it seem like you got some help with something, to make it seem like we did something to you so you can get some help, then go back. I'm telling you, I guarantee you it wasn't his idea. I guarantee you it wasn't his
idea.
So
do you not believe him when he came out with the statement and said, I need to figure out a way to manage my stresses? Do you think that was...
No, I believe that. I believe that, but I don't think he said, I need to go to the hospital to figure that out. I don't think he said that.
Yeah, I mean, that's when the team in the league comes in and say, hey, here's the support system that we have. Here are the gurus, the doctors, the professionals that we have in our network that can help. But it's sometimes signs and symptoms, though.
For sure.
Right now, we talking about, like, you know, we're trying to diagnose Ja, and that's not it.
Right.
What they're doing right now, what I believe, is prevention and intervening early. Right. That's what I'm saying, Stack. If you don't sit him down, if you don't have him come off the bench this first game or two back, then all you're doing is entertaining the bullshit. So this is them trying to course correct in my mind. Look, if we actually do the right things right now, we're going to prevent X, Y, and Z happening 2 years from now, 3 years from now. Like, these are big moments for me, bro. I'm going to be honest with you. For me, having Jay Cutler, and I didn't like it, because I feel the same way you feel. And we all, where we come from, we grow up in area in environments where it's like, what happens in the house stays in the house. Mm-hmm. Don't say that. Talk to me in the house. When we go outside, we on the same page. My mom, there's so many times, my mom, my brother, my sisters, my cousins, we fighting together. Ain't no questions asked. And then as soon as we get in the house, they looking at me like, boy, what you thinking? What you doing? You tripping. Then they hold me accountable. But when Jay Cutler, in 2008, in front of the whole sports world, said, yo, we might need to trade Brandon. He acting up too much. Yo, that did something to me. It made me really lean in and say, man, like, if my guy's saying this, then there's something really going on. So I feel like sometimes, you know, when you're a public figure, being called out publicly and held accountable publicly, It just gets you there faster. That's
I think
what
also
I
when you're young, because when you're young, you kind of, and this is everyone, you feel like you're invincible, right? You do stupid things because you don't think that there are consequences to your actions. You know, that's why when you're young, you go drastically over the speed limit, or people do dumb things and they get into a car after drinking, or they just think that the world is their oyster and there are no repercussions to their actions. And I think that when you are in the NBA, unfortunately, everyone's human at the end of the day. Nobody's above anybody. We're all the same. We all cry. We all laugh. We all bleed. We'll all die one day. So, like, it's not putting it in a hierarchy. But when you are in certain positions, there are certain responsibilities that come with that. And unfortunately, that does mean you have to play by certain rules. Whether people like it or not, the NBA is a business, and the NBA will do what they have to do to protect their business. But so is John Morant. He's a business. He's an entity. He's an enterprise. He is a brand, and he should want to go ahead and do the things necessary to protect that outside of the NBA, because he won't play basketball forever. But what he does while he's playing it will go ahead and change the livelihood of his family, his kids' kids one day, and that's important. So I just think that for me, whether or not the NBA forced his hand or whether or not he really wanted to go and get help, if he is doing something in his personal life, whether it's partying, whether it's drinking too much, whether it's whatever it is that goes on behind closed doors to manage stresses that come with being a brand, a face of a franchise, a face of an organization, then he should absolutely go ahead and do the work necessary to figure out how to better manage that. And I hope that if it was his idea, or even if it wasn't his idea, that he still continues to do that work, because there were things that were coming out that were outside of normal behaviors. And you want to catch certain things before they escalate, because as you guys know, when you get older and you get stuck in your ways, it's a lot harder to change unless you are actually actively doing that work. Yeah. And some people aren't willing to do that. So I just hope that whatever it is, he continues to do that work on himself.
Yeah. And how long was he suspended? 3 weeks?
Yeah, 8 games.
8 games?
Yeah, nobody changes that fast.
That's true. It's true. That's what I'm saying. First game back,
what's the first thing he say when you get close to a mic? An NBA young boy line. Nobody changes that fast. That was a waste of time. It was a waste of time.
Well, Stack, that's what I'm saying. I hope that he continues, because I agree with you. I think it takes 21 days to break a habit or something like that. So I hope that he actively continues that work, because it did not.
The NBA was saving face, man. They know what they was doing.
All right, guys.
Hey, hold on, Stack said. What he did when he got a mic?
He quoted the NBA.
So I'm talking about the first game he was able to watch, and this is my little bro. I ain't tripping. I'm just speaking facts, bro. I always do. And that's why people love me. As soon as he get close to a mic when his teammate had a great game, he shouts out the NBA.
It's a parade in my
line.
City.
I listen to NBA Youngboy all day, but I'm just saying though. If I come back to that first time back, and the first thing I do is, you know what I'm saying? That's not showing that my time away, I was thinking about, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that shit was a waste of time.
Hey Stack, when you coming back out of the situation like that, you reciting a hymn or something.
Not even that. I ain't say be corny like that. I'm just saying I wouldn't even be by the mic. I wouldn't put myself in that position right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna stay away from that. I'm gonna chill out until it's time.
Hey Stack, ask you how they be, how athletes be when they get in trying to come back. I gave my life to Christ.
I just want to thank my Lord and Savior.
All right, guys. So we're gonna move on to our next topic, right? So last night after their game, the Mavericks said that they plan to file a protest of their 127-125 loss against the Warriors. It was after a late in the third quarter. There was some confusion on which team, you know, had possession of the ball. It was actually coming out of a timeout, right? The Warriors center Kevin Looney just had a free dunk. It was a free dunk on the inbounds play with 156 left in that third quarter. That moved the score to 90-87, so it was a close game then. They only ended up winning by 2 points. The Mavericks believed that in that moment they had possession, so they were just on the completely other side of the court. Ashley, I'm going to ask you first. Did the referee's mistake cost the Mavericks this game?
No. Listen, at the end of the day, there are a lot of things that have to go wrong in a basketball game for you to lose the game, right? And yes, there are situations where it comes down to that one call. It does happen. It happens in the NFL. Like, I'm not going to say it never happens. But for the most part, there's 4 quarters of basketball. You have to play 4 quarters of consistent basketball to win a game. It doesn't come down to one call at the end of the game is the reason you lost. Maybe the reason you lost is because Luka was bricking it up out there. Maybe the reason you lost is because Luka was missing his free throws. I mean, I know it's like the sexy thing to do to blame the refs. And I know it's the low-hanging fruit. Like, oh, the refs are at it again. And sometimes it's true. Let me say that again. Sometimes it is true. There are a lot of bad calls that happen in a game. And you're looking like, all right, this is ridiculous. Like, this ain't adding up. Like, it smells like a setup. But in this situation, the Mavs did not lose that game because of that one call. It didn't look great, but that's not the catalyst as to why they lost. So, no.
Yeah, Stuck, what you think?
A bonehead play by the Mavericks.
Yeah.
it's never a situation where the ball has been taken out by the team and all five players are by the baseline where the ball getting taken out. It's never – if you look at any NBA game, a team has never lined up like that. So something had to be suspicious to them.
Right.
Somebody had to run down to a point guard and see something, right? That was a bonehead play by the Mavericks, smart play by the Warriors. And you can't blame that on the game. Now, the referees, they have messed up a lot of games.
For sure.
They have ruined a lot of people's seasons. You know, we've seen referees that write books about how they help other teams and cheat. So we know this happens. But at the same time, last night, that wasn't that.
Mark Cuban put out a tweet, and he said that, I'm paraphrasing, he said the refs initially called Mavs ball and then reviewed the situation, and it actually was Warriors ball, but they didn't inform the Mavs that, so they weren't it was just like, but if you watch, Jordan Poole's on the sideline talking to the referee, and he peeps that the Mavs are – he basically catches the Mavs slipping, makes the move, and it's a free dunk for the Warriors, which ultimately wins them the game. But – hey, man, don't get caught sleeping. That's not on him.
The refs are there to make sure that there's control in the game, that the game continues to move. And so that's on the refs. Y'all both are getting this wrong. Y'all are supposed to be basketball experts.
And
in the NBA. Come on, the refs can't let that happen. It's the same way in football. In football, we can't just do what we want to do. You got to wait for the ref to say, okay, here, we're ready to play. We're back to regulation.
I have a point.
Y'all can't say the refs did not contribute to this. And now we're at the end of the regular season stretch. There's so much on the line. Guys are fighting for position. The refs need to be on their A game.
Brandon, you had five players on the opposite side of the court. Not one player was ready on the other side.
You have a referee. You have a referee handing him the ball.
The whole team was on one side of the court.
That was a mistake by the refs. Stack, come on, Stack.
The referee handed him the ball, though. How is it a mistake by
that?
What do you mean?
Stack, is that not – come on, how many games have you been in when you know you catching another team or another player slipping, but the ref, like, they just holding the ball, like, hold on, stop.
What?
They know that ain't right.
No. Hey, they do. But once every player – but I don't care. Once every player is on that court, he hands me the ball, whether they said or not. They just waiting for every player to walk across that line. I don't care if you're on the other end. Once they get on that court, I'm handing him the ball.
That's not all. That's not 100% true. That's not 100% true. You go to any rec league, you can go to any YMCA across America, and ain't nobody doing that. Ain't nobody doing that, man. You said it. The refs cost guys not only games, but I've seen coaches' jobs lost. I've seen players get cut.
Okay, B, let me ask you a question, B. You watched a lot of basketball. You never seen nobody take the ball out of bounds and throw it off somebody's back and catch it and lay it up?
Yep.
100%. Oh, 100%.
What's the difference?
There is none.
Here's the difference. It's like this. Let me go to a sport that I really, really know.
Thank you.
Because you're not making any sense right now.
Here's the deal. You ever see Drew Brees, you see a Tom Brady, you see a Patrick Mahomes going to a no-huddle offense, rush, 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 try to get to the line. When you sub in and out, you have to let the team adjust. It's the same thing in basketball. You can't just say, we just got a first down. Personnel's coming in, personnel's going out. And then now all of a sudden, the ref give the ball to the center and you can go. No, they sit there. How many times as fans are we pissed off because the ref is literally straddling the ball saying, no, we got to wait and let them adjust. The same thing happens in basketball. Now, do I know the language around it? Absolutely not.
No, it's called delay a game.
You can't have the guy subbing in, Stacker. You talk about, oh, God, as soon as they step on the court.
Hey, if the referees got the ball, especially in TV games, and the clock is going to somebody taking their time, trying to get on the court, delay a game. If you trying to sub in and you ain't got your shirt tucked in, delay a game. That's nine free throws.
Brandon, so it's hard. It's hard for me to agree with you when the entire team was not right. They were on the other side. Like, not a single player was where they were technically supposed. Like, that's unheard of. Like, not one. not two, all five players were on the other side of the court, like the entire team. And you want me to go ahead and blame that on the refs? The Mavs got caught slipping.
Yeah, they did. Oh, they did. No. Like, they got to at least have the inbounder in some.
At least have the inbounder where he's supposed to be. Like, you don't got a single person on the other side of the court. And I'm supposed to sit here and blame the refs?
Hey, you know what I'm thinking now? I just looked at how they were set up. They were set up in their out-of-bounds play. So how was Dallas on the other end when you see Golden State set up in their out-of-bounds play on that end?
Right. Pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so much situational awareness that was lacking in that moment.
It was tragic. Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah. All right, guys, how about this? How about we hop into our Fact or Foolish segment? So if you remember, I'm going to read you guys a statement. You got to determine whether it's fact or foolish, and then you have to give your explanation why. So for the first one, the Clippers are in trouble without Paul George. Fact or foolish, Stack? I'm going to start with you.
Trouble.
Big trouble.
Yeah, they're in trouble. I mean, shit, you can't get in no more trouble than this. Now you don't have your second star player. Paul George really been carrying that team the whole season. Mm-hmm. He's been healthy. He's been doing his thing on both ends. Like, they're going to struggle. It's all bad for them.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So it sounds like fact. What you think?
Nah, absolutely. I mean, it's a problem, you know. And you never know with Kawhi. He just may wake up one day and be like, I'm not playing today. Like, you know what? My knee hurts. I'm not going to risk it. So, like, that's an issue. I mean, hopefully Paul George, they say, I think it was like, what, 2 to 4 weeks? It's not as bad as they thought it or it looked. It looked really bad when it happened. You were, like, holding your breath, like, oh, my God, is he out for the season? 2 to 4 weeks. Is it going to be 2 to 4 weeks? If you ask me, it feels like it's going to be longer than that.
Mentally, though, it's going to be longer mentally.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And the Clippers were rolling. Like, the Clippers were a team that was going to, if you had to match up against them in the first round, they were going to give you some issues.
Yeah.
Now it seems like whoever they face, I don't want to say it's going to be a cakewalk, but it's definitely not going to be as hard.
Well, look, I want to say the ninth team in the West is only like two games behind the Clippers right now.
It was a bad time for PG to go down, man. It's too close in the West to lose a guy like that. It's unfortunate for sure.
Prayers up for PG, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Brandon, what you got?
Yeah, it's definitely fact. I'm looking at the play right now. Ooh, hyperextended his knee. Look, there's a lot of it's not that bad. It's not that bad. So that 2 to 4, I hear what you're saying, Stack, when you talk about the mental component too. Oh, no, that looked bad.
He must have got a different angle.
Think of the timing too. B, think of the timing where the season is.
Yeah, this is all bad. I'm gonna go fact. This is all bad. But you know this. We've seen Kawhi in the past take over games. You go back to when Kawhi was in when he was in San Antonio. Damn, when you wasn't on that team, was you, Stack?
I played with him in 14.
Bro, when he broke through, what was that? That was the heat. Was that the heat?
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi,
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Yo, this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Game, the Heat series?
Yeah, Heat series.
Y'all don't win that. They don't win that. They don't win that
they
without
win that.
Kawhi. And Kawhi. Kawhi, that's when that was his coming out party. So if he has a little bit left in the tank, like just to take over and dominate, they can sustain. They could be okay while, you know, Paul comes back. Like, it's not that there was one angle where it kind of went in, and that's where I'm like, okay, it looks a little bad. But I've seen hyperextensions before where dudes' knees go back even farther, and they're back in 3 to 4 weeks. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, it's not as bad as it looks. Hopefully.
They have a deep team. They have a deep team, be probably one of the deepest teams in the NBA. So they got guys that can
for sure.
Gordon and other guys that can step up to try to patch up their points together to pick up where Paul left off. But it's gonna be difficult to just try to add guys in and for them to play those big roles at this point in the season. You know what I'm saying? Where they've been playing a certain way all year long.
The last thing I would say to this, Corey, is man, it sucks, man. Like, down the stretch, you want to see your best players on the game. As a fan, you want to see these matchups, right? You want to see them take on, you know, the Warriors. You want to see them taking on, you know, the best teams at full throttle. So hopefully we can see some of that come round one, round two.
Kawhi, you've had a whole season to rest, and you've done it. It's time to shine, baby. It's your time to shine, Kawhi, okay? You've had a whole season of just chilling. It is time to shine. It's your moment.
All right, all right. So for the next one, guys, we're actually going to move back to the Mavs and the Warriors. So for this one, the Mavericks will make it further into the playoffs than the Warriors. Fact or foolish? Ashley, I'll start with you.
That's foolish. I mean, listen, I know the Warriors on the road are a wild card, but I think that just like last season, when you are a championship team and you have championship DNA, you know how to flip that switch when you need to flip it the most. And that is still a really good basketball team. That's a great basketball team, and they will flip that switch when they have to. I think the Mavs, you know, continuity and chemistry is not really on their side right now, and that was one of the issues that I, when Brandon and I had this conversation a few days ago or a few weeks ago, I said it's not enough time for Luka and Kyrie to really figure out how to play together, because Luka loves to have the ball in his hand for so long of that shot clock, and Kyrie needs some of that second to kind of get into his moment, his rhythm, to get a shot up. They haven't really figured out how to work together yet. So I just think that you can't compete with championship DNA. You can't compete with continuity and chemistry like the Warriors have. So I put my money on them anytime.
Yeah. What do you think, Stack?
I'm a, you know, I'm a part of that Warriors family, so I'm never counting them out. I just got to go with Dallas this time.
Ooh.
But it's simple, and let me tell you why. For the simple fact that it's been a lot of things that's messing up the chemistry in Golden State right now. Right? And so it's from the beginning of the season to now, you know, you look at a lot of different things, you know. Okay, with Draymond and Poole punch, okay. Now you got teammates looking at Draymond different now too, cuz you punched him. But when you got into it with old boy in the middle of the court, and y'all, he elbowed you in the face and all that, you didn't do nothing. So now that's one thing, that how they looking at Draymond different now in that locker room. I'm telling you, I know they're looking at him different. Two, with the chemistry not being there, and Steph coming back from injury, all that stuff, I just don't see them having. I think they're on the championship layoff. I kind of still feel like they're still at the parade, right?
What if Wiggins comes back? Does it change your mind?
You can't just be gone all season and come back and think you're finna just do work like that. It don't work like that in the NBA. Nobody's that nice to be out all this time and just come. No,
yeah.
I don't think so. I really feel like when the game slows down in the playoffs, I would put my money on Steph for sure. But right. if I had two people like Kyrie and Luka, when the game slows down in the playoffs, when you need a bucket, I'm going with – I just feel like Dallas is going to go on a run in the playoffs.
Dang, over the Splash Brothers? But, you got Klay Thompson. He's been cooking all season.
Well, keep in mind –
every run has to come to an end, baby.
Yeah, the game last night was only a two-point game, and they didn't have Kyrie on the floor. So
that's interesting, though, about, you know, the Draymond situation, because we spoke about that punch often. And when you were on the show, we spoke about the punch. When you were on the weekly show – and, you know, it kind of – Brandon was on the side of like, yo, you don't get over that. I don't care how many times you apologize. Right. It's always lingering. You're always wondering when you're going to get your lick back. I was on the side of like, you kind of put that on the back burner and focus on the bigger task. But it is interesting when you see Draymond in a situation where he can have that same energy with someone who's not wearing the same jersey as him and he doesn't. I actually never really thought about, you know, his teammates looking at him like, oh, so you're not going to keep that same energy with this guy? Like, I never thought like that. That did not even cross my mind.
Yeah. Draymond's my dog, too. And, I guess, like I always say, every team needs a Draymond to win the championship. You know, Greg Popovich been saying that for years. They need a Ron Artest. You need a Steven Jackson. And Draymond has been that for, 10 years in the league. But for me, as a teammate, I would rather see that energy with somebody that's not on my jersey, not have the same jersey out. You know what I'm saying? Right. You punch a young guy. Dylan has been real respectful to not just you, everybody on your team. So that punch you put on young fella should have been on him. You know what I'm saying? It's just my opinion. I'm not saying Draymond should go punch the dude. I'm just saying the way I look at it, you know what I'm saying? If I could punch my teammate, it's way easier for me to punch somebody that don't have the same jersey on me.
Yeah, but you know, when you're in a locker room or you're on a practice on the court, you know, you don't think that footage is going to get out. You don't think you're going to get in trouble. You know the game. How many times have Draymond really been in a fight? What is two times in his entire career? Maybe three.
Right, but you know, one thing I know, he ready to do it at any time.
He stay on go.
he might not have been in a lot of fights in the league, but he stay on go.
Right.
He ready to go now. Don't get it twisted now. You know, I think getting suspended in the finals, you know, got him a little bit more cautious. But trust me, he ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Right. Listen, I like what Ashley said. The question was, the Warriors going deeper than the Mavs. Mavericks. Is that correct?
The Mavericks will go further into the playoffs than the Warriors.
Yeah, I'm going to go foolish here. I'm going to go foolish here because experience. Mm. I mean, you look over the last week or two, they've been turning it on. You know, they had some big games. They won some big games, some key moments down this stretch. I'm leaning towards the side of experience. But, you know, what Stack said is true as well. You got Kyrie and Luka. That's dangerous. I know when it – what was it? Maybe 3-4 weeks ago, they both had 40-piece. Yeah. That can happen any minute. But Klay Thompson, he's the same Klay Thompson for real. Look at the numbers. What they did during that run years back, he's still putting up similar numbers. Even Draymond, everybody keep getting on Draymond talking about there's this decline in his play. Draymond, the only thing is declining is a few minutes here, but also a few points. That's it. That's not why you even got Draymond there. So I like the Warriors to threaten a lot of teams in post. This is probably the most scariest team in the NBA.
The Warriors?
The
reason why I asked is because of what you said.
I don't know if they're the scariest, though.
Think about it. Who would have thought that they would win it last year? Do you want to go against a team like this?
Nobody I wouldn't say they're them. The scariest. I think they're probably the most unpredictable because you never know what version you're going to get. Right. You can get the version that gets blown out by halftime and never comes back. Or you can get the version that you think like, okay, they lost the night before by 20. They about to lose it. And they just go into championship mode. They're unpredictable. I don't know if they're scary, though. Like,
scary.
Boston is
mean.
A scary team. Scary. Milwaukee's
That's
a scary team.
Mm. Steph Curry.
We talk about it. Really, Draymond is the difference between these two teams. Because both of them are bad defensively. And Draymond is really the difference. He's the only one to play defense. Both of these teams are terrible on the defensive end.
All right, guys. We're going to move on to the next one. But kind of stay on the topic of Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie Irving is the best closer in the NBA, fact or foolish? I'll start with you, Stack. What you think?
Because KD hurt.
KD. So you got KD.
If KD not out there, it's Kyrie by far. It's not even close.
With KD out of the equation right now, it's easily Kyrie. I mean, the man goes super sane in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. It's insane. He'll have like 7 points the entire game, and he just – flips that switch, again, the switch, and he drops like 25 in the quarter and like seals the deal. It is absolutely, I say it all the time, like people can say what they want about Kyrie off the court and they can have their opinions, whatever. When it comes to that man's game within the four walls of those that basketball arena, whatever arena is he in, it is like watching poetry in motion, watching him play ball. He is one of the most skilled, if not the most skilled basketball player I have ever seen. It is a privilege watching him play. The things that he can do with that ball, my goodness. Like right now, you can't touch him when it comes to closing out a game.
Fact or foolish, Brandon, what you got?
Yeah, I did a little quick research here on some of the some of the best closers in NBA history, and you have KD sitting there at 2-3 on some people's list. So I'm gonna go fact here right now because KD's not there, and you said it's stacked, right? Like if KD was out there, you have to go with him. I mean, he's a walking bucket. It's too easy for him. You know, listen. Kyrie's special though.
His bag is just so deep. Extensive. Like when you play against somebody who has such a deep bag like he does, it is so like you never know what they're gonna pull out. Like it's so hard to stop somebody like that when they get into that mode. Because it's like, yo, he can hit you from so many different parts of the game.
Guess.
Like,
do not guess.
If you just don't know what to do, it's like you going like this. Like, what do I do? Like, you don't know where to start. Like, Kyrie is a gift.
But I like the conversation. I like it because, you know, if you really think about it, if he's been on the court more, we might be saying yes. The Cavs don't win it in 2016 if it wasn't for Kyrie. Everybody keeps talking about LeBron coming home.
No, facts. I think everyone knows that, though.
Right.
LeBron ain't got no bag, though.
Right.
I tell people all the time, like my homeboy Rico used to say, Stack, you ain't got no mess arounds. I really didn't have no bag either. You know what I'm saying? But Kyrie bag is different.
Oh, it's deep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different, bro. It's totally different.
What you guys think is a difference between you know, a bag and then closer. Closer is someone, it doesn't matter. They just get it done. You just saw, it wasn't you guys. I think it was the Knuckleheads. The Knuckleheads, you know, they had Coach on the show, and he said Dwayne Wade was the best closer he's ever seen or clutch guy he's ever seen, right? So closer, it doesn't have to be pretty in my mind. Is there not a difference there?
Well, a bag looks at their overall game as a player. So a closer focuses on just the fourth quarter or like down the stretch, right? Mm-hmm. That's the closing of a game. When you talk about a player with a deep bag, you're analyzing his game in the sport as a whole. So top to bottom, like how he dribbles, how he shoots, you know, his moves. And Kyrie's bag is so deep because if you watch, he doesn't just have moves that are remnant of, you know, NBA players. You see some of the moves that Kyrie does. You see that at Rucker. You see that at Dykeman. He has taken every aspect of the game, whether it's street ball, whether it's professional ball, whether it's Euro ball. Like, there is an aspect of every single part of that in his game, which is why it's so impressive to watch, because it is rare to see a player who has a little bit of everything in him, and that's what you mean by him having a deep bag.
The scouting reports you get before, like I guarantee you, Cleveland scouting report when he was in Cleveland said, LeBron James, push him left, make him shoot. Tristan Thompson, just box him out. Kevin Love, crowd him, don't let him shoot. Kyrie Irving, guard him. Because you can't give a scouting report on this game because he got counters to everything.
Yes.
You can't send him left. You can't send him right. You can't push up on him. You can't back up. You can't back off him. Yep. Like, you can't double team him because he'll split the double team. Like, there's no way to guard him. You just got to hope he having an off night. And that's how Kobe was.
I know the scouting report, and you know this too, Stack. Yo, get to his mental.
That don't work.
That don't work with Kyrie.
They tried it. They tried it already. It ain't working.
Wow, because you know, I say that not to shit on Kyrie. I say that because there's a lot of phenomenal players in all sports where it's like, yo, you got to talk to them a little bit. Sometimes that's the scouting report. Yo, we just going to push on them. We going to hit on them. We going to talk trash. That's how you get them off his game. So you're telling me That don't work with Kyrie?
Nah, no. That work with people like me and Ron Artest, people that got no pride. I can't take it. I got to say something back. I got to do something.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see Kyrie all the time chirping with the fans and stuff. That he's still on his game, though, when he's doing that?
And come out and give you a party ball. Sure do.
All right, guys. How about we move on to the next one? So what we got? Donovan Mitchell beats Ja Morant in a dunk contest.
Time out. So I'm so sorry, Corey.
No, you good. You got one more point there.
Didn't they not put him in the top 75 of all time?
That list was very political, though.
Yeah.
That was so wrong. We don't even want to talk about that. Vince Carter wasn't on it, I don't think.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure, because the way we talking about him, he's special, but he didn't make the top 75.
No.
Yeah, we know why he didn't.
That list was very political.
Yeah, we know why he didn't.
There were some names on that list that were like, you sure?
Yeah, right.
Hey, they got some people on their list that I got more points than in my career.
Damn.
Let's not even go there.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
All right, Corey.
All right, so we can go back to what I had said. So Donovan Mitchell beats Ja Morant in a dunk contest. Fact or foolish? Ashley, what you got?
I'm going foolish. Like, listen.
This is from the other night, actually.
Donovan got some. Listen, Donovan. I mean, he dunked on Watanabe. Like, let's be for real. Let's be for real. But he didn't dunk on LeBron. Like, that's no knock to it. But listen, Donovan Mitchell has some hops to him. Let's make that very clear. He got some hops to him. He can definitely, make a move, and he's definitely good for a dunk. But Ja Morant, I mean, the man hits windmills like jump shots. Like, it's insane. So yeah, I'm going.
6'9".
Ja Morant. Sorry, I'm fixing this earpiece.
All right, so we're going foolish. Stack, what you got? Fact or foolish?
I'm going foolish. Ja Morant Donovan Mitchell's a stronger jumper. He's a game dunker. Mm-hmm. When you talk about just getting off the floor and doing crazy stuff, Ja's on another level. I got to go with Ja.
Yeah, we're going with Ja. Brandon, who you got?
I'm not doing this just to create problems and arguments.
I love having a third opinion. I love having a third opinion.
Yeah, when I saw this in the show, I went to YouTube and I typed in Donovan Mitchell dunk. And what popped up was 56 minutes of Donovan Mitchell's best career dunks. Mm. If you go spend time and watch this, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to say fact or foolish. I'm going to say fact because, Ashley and Stack just made it way too easy. It's not that easy. It's not going to be easy for Ja. It's not. It depends on who's more creative. Yeah, Ja got crazy bounce. He's so explosive. He had Ja training at House of Athlete a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And you look at him, he looks frail. He looks skinny. And pause moment. I'm going to say this before.
Nah, he looks like he has a build. He got a build like AI.
Yeah, but no, Ashley, his thighs is like damn Ezekiel Elliott's thighs. He got running back thighs. You know, when dudes walk in, you be like, oh, that's a football player. Oh, he got some ass. He got some quads, right? That's how we talk.
What? No,
pause. But Stack, you know it, Stack. Come on now. Yo, so he come in. He got these big old thighs. I'm like, damn, that's why he able to jump like that. Why, Stack? Stack.
Man. I'm not going to do it. Stack's here. He can do it. I'm not going
to
do it. Brandon, you got.
Go to the next one after that?
He warned us, though. He warned us. He gave us a disclaimer.
He did.
He said he was going to go crazy.
We talking thighs, ass, leg. I mean, what are we doing?
When Stack was playing and when I was coming up playing, rec ball, we was into the long shorts. That's when that was in. Now
yes,
these
yes.
They were, man, you see what Tyreek was wearing yesterday on the field? He was wearing underwear, Them wasn't.
Nah, but they don't they? But they also wear like those compression joints underneath their shorts now, though. So it's like two. It's like having two shorts on.
They're not doing that. No, see, that's what they. That was the first phase to get the shorts right. Correct me if I'm wrong, Stack. You had the long shorts. Right, long shorts.
Like Michigan.
Fab five. Yeah, Michigan, Fab five. Mm-hmm. And then what it was is, let's go with the tights that hit you right above the knees and then take the shorts a little shorter. So you still have the length because of the tights. Now what they're doing is, they doing tight tights. Short tights. Mm-hmm. And short shorts.
Nah, I haven't graduated to the tights by themselves. I see guys in the gym and they take the straight tights. I ain't never gonna graduate to that. Then you got guys with the short shorts Well, they, you know, they pubes on the bird, so I ain't graduating that. I'm sticking to the knees.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan. Like, this is another pause moment, but I can't have my meat flying everywhere. Excuse me. Oh, sorry. Man. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I mean, maybe it's early in L.A.
I
even on
I can't. Oh, my God. Like, I did not need a visual of, like, oh, Corey, please,
I'm
for
sorry.
The love of God.
Mr. Jeff, goodness, Mr. Jeff, man. I'm so sorry. Apologize. I apologize to you, your daughter.
That is insane that you just. Oh, my God. Oh, God.
No, I did incorporate and adopt Jerry Rice, you know, only wear tights in practice. But what you need to do, you need to double up. That's what you need to do to make sure everything's secure. You put the tights on, the little ones, and then you come with the big boys, and now you good. You good to go. And then you wear a little long shirt. Mm-hmm. So if there is some movement, you really can't see. Nobody can't see. Stay. All right, we move on. Okay, I'm done.
Hey, you warned us though, B. I gotta give you warned us. You gave us a disclaimer before you went crazy, but you warned us.
I don't even know what the
question was. That was the most. That was like a wild.
A
like
lot.
I just.
OD.
Was,
OD.
OD. Yo, like oh, what?
For real. That was a lot.
I'm really excited for this next one, though, Brandon. I'm really excited for this next one because we're.
It's
kinda,
not anything about shorts or clothing, no, right? All right. We're not asking Brandon any more clothing related questions for the rest of the show.
But this is going to be like a continuation of a conversation that we started yesterday, right? So for our next Factor Foolish statement, Devin Booker has reached superstar status. And I have a follow up question for this, too. I have a follow up question for you, Stack, because you weren't on yesterday with us. But Devin Booker has reached superstar status, Factor Foolish. We'll start with you.
Superstar status, foolish.
Foolish.
He's a star. He's not a superstar.
He's not a superstar.
Stack, I said this yesterday, and they looked at me like I was crazy.
So, before we go to you, Ashley or Brandon, Stack, do you think DeMar DeRozan is a superstar?
Star. He's not a superstar.
Come on.
All right, so look.
Come on, Corey.
We're going to stay with Stack with this
one. The NFL might be Brandon's, you know, arena, but when it comes to basketball, I know a thing or two. Neither of them are superstars.
So what defines for you, Stack?
DeMar wasn't.
Huh? So Stack, for you, what defines an NBA superstar then? Who's because what I feel like the levels are, I feel like it's all-star, it's superstar, and in my opinion, it's the guys like LeBron, right? It's the guys like Steph Curry.
Those are superstars, though.
I feel like we need to come up with a new category, right? Because I feel like by just calling somebody like LeBron a superstar takes away from their you know, like their legend almost, right?
No, but LeBron's not a legend yet because I told, like, a legend is someone who was a superstar as an active player and is a legend now removed from the game. You don't become a legend until you retire. You can be you can have a legendary career and everyone knows LeBron's going to be a legend when it's all said and done.
Right.
But currently, right now, he's a superstar.
Okay, so. You said Devin Booker is a star. You said Devin Booker is a star, right? Are we categorizing stars with guys who have made all-stars, right? Like, I feel like there needs to be just like a separate tier. Either we're going to make that tier of what LeBron is, a tier above superstar, or we need to implement the category that is Devin Booker in like a category that's in between all-star and superstar. Does that make sense?
Okay, three things. I got three things.
Go ahead.
One, she right. Braun is already a legend. You can't say he's a legend because he's still playing, but he's already a legend. No question.
Right.
Does DeRozan and Booker have their own shoe?
They do not.
Superstars have their own shoe.
Ooh, that's a great benchmark.
Like John Morant.
No, that's great. That's great that you said that then. Do you think Jason Tatum is a superstar?
Definitely.
See, I would argue that they have the same amount of accomplishments.
Like Book,
Devin Booker and
I feel
Jason
like
Tatum,
Book and Tatum, Book and Tatum are right on the cusp of becoming superstars, but they have superstars. Yes, they have signature shoes and things like that. Jason Tatum needs to do what he does in the regular season when it means the most to make that jump. Same thing with Devin Booker. He needs to make that jump. Yeah. When you think of superstars, they either have signature shoes, multiple MVPs, multiple all-stars. Like, it's just a different tier.
Right.
So Devin Booker and Jason Tatum are right. Like, they got one foot in the superstar conversation. Yeah. To get that other foot in there, there's just a couple of more things or just one more thing they have to do and show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're both those guys got one foot in that superstar conversation.
I think Tatum is on a high level because Booker is probably the best player on the Suns, but Chris Paul is a star.
Is he a superstar?
More people know. More people know and say Chris Paul named than Devin Booker. He might be the best player, but when you go to Boston, it's Jason Tatum. First, the top, no question. The best player on the team, carrying him to the finals. Uh-huh. Booker don't have that. Booker hasn't been that yet.
Is Chris Paul a superstar? Because that was a debate we had.
No.
Thank you. He was.
I'm okay with that. Hold on. He's not a superstar basketball player on the court, but just being an NBA, he's a superstar.
For sure.
All of that matters.
Not no more on the court.
That's how I feel.
He's a superstar. He's
you have
a
to have an impact.
You know
both
what? You know,
and
I would say this. Chris Paul is a superstar. I would say that.
Thank you.
Chris Paul's not a superstar. Devin Booker is not a superstar.
That's like saying, look, I mean, when you're at the tail end.
We need to come up with a new one.
We can take the superstar status out. LeBron, Kobe Bryant, tail end his career.
Chris Paul has his own shoe, too.
There you go.
On Jordan.
I mean, if you're going to use the Kobe Bryant argument for Chris Paul, I don't know. I mean, first of all, Kobe, towards the tail end of his career, already had multiple rings, multiple MVPs, multiple all-star appearances, a signature shoe. Chris Paul, again, that's a weird thing because Chris Paul's a legend. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a legend. He's a living legend right now. He's going to be a legend when he retires from the game. The point guard, one of the greatest to ever play that position.
Right.
Is he a superstar right now?
Yeah, right now. No.
He's not Lob City Chris Paul.
No. That's not the question. I feel like you can't, when you he's reach not. Superstar status, you can't give and take that.
Yeah, so
that.
I mean, it, for yeah, so yeah, Chris, can. So Chris Paul's no, a superstar
can.
Then. Yes.
How? No, you Chris... can't. It's like it's almost like reaching GOAT status.
Wait, but you know, because basically it's basically like a what have you done for me lately? Like you a superstar 3 years ago. You go 3 years without doing nothing. You're not a superstar to no one no more.
No, you had a run. You had a run. It's like the boy out in Denver in the bubble. He go crazy, and then where he go? There's a couple dudes like no. You had a nice little run. But if you put it together for 5, 6, 7, 8 years,
man, how long Chris Paul been in the league, man?
Man, Chris Paul just a year ago, he was in the conversation for MVP.
The reason I have a hard time saying he's a superstar now, I'm not negating his legacy and like I said, point guard, like all of that is relevant. But he's not an active superstar right now because when you think of active superstars, you're talking Giannis, you're talking KD, you're talking LeBron. Yeah. He's not doing what those guys are doing at this point in his career. He's a legend. True. He was overall a super, but is he an active superstar right now?
Not active, no.
Here's what I would say. I would actually say foolish to this. Because when I think about superstars, and I looked at it in, you know, even in my career, like I feel like I had an opportunity to become a superstar, but I never did it because I never went on a crazy stretch, right? Like, where's that moment? Where's that signature moment? You got to look at that. Where's Devin Booker's signature moment? Whether he goes crazy in the playoffs, he goes crazy in the finals. You got to have that signature moment. And even in the regular season, you know, you have James Harden doing what he did down in Houston. You have Russell Westbrook. He averaged a triple-double. You got LeBron James just sustained success over a long period of time. As soon as he walks in the NBA, he was crowned the king as soon as he came in, and he held it down. So, Devin Booker, you got – like, to get there – like, this is the time. Like, what you going to do now? What you going to do in this postseason? He could potentially be crowned a superstar if he do something. But he's just a really good player.
If you ask me, going back to the Chris Paul thing, if you ask me if Chris Paul is a superstar all the way around, obviously.
Why are you going back to Chris Paul?
No, I'm saying I want to clarify this. Like, if you ask me all the way around, is he a superstar? Absolutely. Like, once you reach that status, you don't lose it just because, you know, you're having great years. But if you ask me if he's an active superstar right now, no. Because in that conversation, active players right now, you're talking Curry, Giannis, KD. He's not in that tier right now. He's already cemented his status, but he's not. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a level. There's nuance there. Sorry.
But also, superstar to me, it's not all on the court or on the field. Superstar to me is like everything. You put everything in that. You could be a really, 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 really good player. You could be a great player. But if you don't got some swagger to you, that's why you, like you just said, a shoe. That's why I said that's a great benchmark. Does he have a signature?
I mean, CJ McCollum has a signature shoe.
Yeah, but he made that. Didn't he his own company or something?
No, it's the same. It's the same company that D Wade has his shoes with now.
That's what I'm saying. That he went the entrepreneur route. CJ McCollum is one of the savviest investors in all of sport. Well, and he's a savvy investor, super smart. If he was with Nike, he wouldn't have a signature shoe or even an Under Armour. Under Armour ain't even give him that. He went and said, you know what? Let me go over here. He probably got equity in that company. I'm talking about CJ McCollum.
I mean, you said superstar got their own shoe. I was just bringing up somebody who had their own shoe.
Yeah. Zion hasn't even played, but he's a superstar.
What you gonna do with Zion? You the general manager of the Knicks. You the president of the Knicks. You the owner of the Knicks.
I'm gonna get him.
You what?
Because obviously he don't want to be in New Orleans.
So you think you gonna go get him and he gonna play more than 40 games a year?
I mean, I don't think that's an accident. I think this is done on purpose. I mean, he might be hurting, but I think he can push himself to play. I think he won't out of that. Just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that would make me apprehensive about if I were the Knicks with Zion is the injuries. Like, he can't seem to stay healthy enough to play an entire season, and that's concerning. Now, I don't know if it's just he doesn't have a good nutrition, you know, conditioning program down there.
Ain't nothing healthy to eat down there. Everything just good.
I know. I've been to New Orleans. It's fantastic. It's so good. So I think that maybe we talk about this often from a different standpoint. You know, when players are unhappy in their situation and they go someplace that they're happy and they want it to be in, you kind of see like new life brought to them. I use the example of Derrick Rose in Detroit. He was almost sent there, you know, for his career to die. Gets to New York and it's like the rising of the Phoenix from the ashes. So Zion may go to a different situation that has a lot more amenities for him to take care of his instrument, his body. That may make a difference, but I don't know if you're a team, are you willing to take that gamble to see if it works?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Passing. I'm passing.
Yeah. All right, guys. Yeah. So we're going to move on to our next one. But before I do, I want to give a little context before I read the statement. So it was on Tuesday, right, that Logan Murdoch of The Ringer released published an article that basically like detail. Well, in the article, they asked Jaylen Brown, you know, like what his future in Boston had looked like, right? And there seemed to be a lot of uncertainty when he answered that question. This is a quote I had from him. He said, "I don't know. As long as I'm needed, it's not up to me. We'll see how they feel about me over time and how I feel about them over time. Hopefully, whatever it is, it makes sense. But I will stay where I'm wanted. I will stay where I'm needed and treated correctly." Right now, Brown is actually set to become a free agent, not the end of this season, but next season. So, I mean, you got to think, like, if the Celtics don't win a championship this year, I mean, you know, who knows if he even finishes next season with the Celtics. So, for the Fact or Foolish statement, we got Jaylen Brown will be wearing a different uniform next season. Fact or Foolish. I'll start with you, Ashley.
Crap. I'm leaning towards the side of fact. I just think that there's been a lot of things that have come out recently that he just seems unhappy there. Not necessarily with the organization, but it seems like he's unhappy with everything outside of it, you know, and that that matters. You know what I mean? You know, he spoke about the fan base and how, you know, not all Celtics fans, but there are Celtics fans, you know, who attend games that aren't, you know, the nicest, and you know, I'm using that as the simplest terms, the nicest. I just think that he's not happy anymore there. And it's a shame to break up that tandem of JT and JB, but you also want to go where you feel appreciated. Kyrie said this when he got to Dallas. The first thing that came out of his mouth was, "I want to go someplace where I'm wanted and where I feel wanted." And I don't think JB feels wanted anymore in Boston. And I don't see how this relationship will continue when somebody feels, I mean, he spoke about how hard it was for him to even buy a house in Boston. That's insane. You know what I mean? Like, he's somebody who speaks freely, and, you know, he's extremely intelligent, and he may feel like he has to censor himself sometimes. It's just, it's like walking on eggshells at this point for him. And I don't see how he can continue.
Right.
You got Stack. Fact or Foolish, Jaylen Brown will be wearing a different uniform next season. Some point of next season.
Yeah.
I'll say fact, for the simple fact that I know a lot of people around him, and
respect is real big to him. Mm-hmm. Getting, because he's one of those people that he goes out his way for people. He treats everybody, you know, I feel him because he treats everybody the same. You know, even though he speak his mind and he a strong black brother, he don't belittle no other race to make himself feel better. You know what I'm saying? He's one of those people that treat everybody the same. So I know for a fact that he ain't taking no disrespect. And the moment that he feel like he's not being treated for the way he's worth, for what he's worth, and not given what he's worth, it's going to be a problem, and he ain't going to mind walking in. And I respect him for that.
Mm-hmm. Stack, I mean, when you were playing, LeBron has spoken about this as well, you know, playing in Boston and that fan base. Is a lot of that true? I mean, now JB has come out and kind of shared this similar sentiments. I mean, you've played there, you know, visiting on the road and things like that. Like, is that an environment that's not great for black people, black men?
I'm never letting Utah off the hook. It's not even close. Boston does have a lot of that, but it's not even close to Utah. Mm, Boston fans, they, like you said, it's not all the Boston fans, but you might have somebody come in there that don't really have a black friend that come in there and just think it's their duty to be racist at the game. Let's just keep it real. But in Utah, yeah, it's more than 10 to 100 of them sitting there waiting to be racist. So Utah's way worse than Boston.
I was not expecting that.
Wow, this is deeper than I thought it was, right? Like, I thought this was more about ball, and then listening to you and Ashley speak, it just seems like, you know, it definitely is going to come to an end sooner rather than later. You go back to 2020 when racial tension soaring, Stack, and even when you were out there marching and pushing everything forward, he was strong. He was one of the strongest voices in sports.
He drove from Boston to Atlanta to protest.
Right? And I got to say this, you know, and this is why I say it get deeper, like, but it's the truth. Like, I spent 3 months in Boston, in Waltham, Massachusetts, had an apartment. That's when I was at McLean, the outpatient program, Ashley and Stack, in 2011. And it's a tough city. It's a tough city, and there is there's a lot of microaggression going on. There's racism going on there. It may not be as tough as some other parts of the country, but it's definitely one of the toughest places, and that's from my experience. Mm-hmm. So you take a guy who's really passionate, not just passionate, but it's almost like he's driven by purpose when it comes to what he's saying and what he's standing on. That don't mix. Mm-hmm. Not in that city. It might not mix. Mm-hmm. You know, you there might be some things happening, like Stack said earlier. A lot of times we don't hear everything. We keep a lot of stuff in house. Mm-hmm. But what could potentially happen in a situation like this is someone in the organization come up to a player like this, super passionate about what he's saying and what he believes in. Like, hey, man, just not here. You know, let's channel it a little differently. Mm-hmm. Don't say it like that. You know, let's stay around. Let's just stick to basketball. And those are uncomfortable conversations, but it pisses players off. And that could potentially be happening behind the scenes.
And people have asked, you know, there are even people in the chat, well, why don't they treat JT like that? There's something called light skin privilege. Let's be honest. As a light skinned woman, there is light skin privilege when it comes to being within the spectrum of the black community. The lighter or closer you are to white, and obviously I'm not white in color, but the closer you are to the color white, the more privilege you are awarded, unfortunately, in this country. When it comes to JB, he is a dark-skinned black man who not only is dark-skinned, but he's very vocal in issues pertaining to the black community. He uses his platform to, you know, positively bring awareness to certain situations. He is not afraid to go against the grain, much like a Kyrie. Mm-hmm. He has his beliefs. He's not afraid to vocalize them. He's within the NBAPA, so he also is, you know, at a different level of vocalization of certain things when it comes to the rights of players and how the league maneuvers and functions and things that can get better. So there's a lot of cards stacked against him. And the favorite word of people, JT and JB could be saying the same thing, but JB will always be problematic and JT will always get the benefit of the doubt. And that has nothing to do with them as individuals. It has everything to do with the color of their skin. And as someone who's light skinned, in America, I can tell you that light skin privilege is 100% real, which is why they are not treated the same by Boston. And that's the unfortunate truth.
Yeah, and I'll say this before we move on the basketball side. Man, it would be sad
Because it would be so sad.
Prime position from a basketball standpoint. Like, it's wide open. I think, you know, this whole shift, I feel like there's a shift stacking, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like there's a shift in basketball happening right now. For a minute now, it's all about the super team. And now I feel like there's more parity in the NBA because people are building it from the ground up. They're going into the draft. And this is a team that has the infrastructure in place that was built from just day one. That's what they did. They ain't go out there and chase. They ain't go out there and try to – well, they did with Kyrie, right? They tried to make a move there, but that was years ago. So I feel like they're in the perfect position. It's a really good team. And if you can go out there and you can acquire just one person, some type of role player that can contribute, fill in the gap, man, they can run it for a couple years.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's different about the game right now, B?
This is a
major difference right now. They used to wait on the top players coming out of college or maybe, you know, even a high school player coming out to bring him in to start their franchises in the NBA. Now they're going overseas and getting them.
Ooh.
That is a good point.
Wow.
That's a good point.
That is a very good point.
Mm.
That
you
is
got good
true.
Over there?
Yeah, it's just so many more
the
now.
Best basketball overseas now? That's what's happening.
Look at the top three of the top four MVP voters. I mean, NBA players right now. Where they from?
Yeah, you got Joker. A point.
Thank Who's the girl. Third?
Giannis, Jokic, and Luka.
Yeah.
Embiid.
Embiid too.
Technically, Embiid's from Africa.
That's right. I didn't.
Four of the top five.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, so the NBA in trouble. American basketball in trouble.
That's what it's looking like. Right?
I mean, they've been in trouble. They've been in trouble.
All right, guys. So
yikes. You gotta listen. Go to Dykeman, Rucker. They waiting to get drafted out there. They got a lot of talent just waiting to be seen at the parks. Like American basketball can be on the rise again. You just gotta scour the parks. West Forth, Rucker, Dykeman. They there. They waiting.
Where's the number one pick coming from? They say.
Oh, that's the
Brands.
Oh yeah. That's another one.
Oh, right. That's true.
Yeah, Victor. What's his name?
I'm gonna butcher his name. I don't want to do it.
I don't want to mess his name.
I'm gonna butcher it. I can't do it. I'm not gonna do it to him.
We know who we talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah.
The unicorn.
All right, guys. So for the last one, we're actually gonna transition to the NFL, right? So yesterday, you know, we talked about it at the top of the show. The Browns just acquired wide receiver Elijah Moore. So Brandon, I'm actually gonna start with you. The Cleveland Browns will win the AFC North next season. Fact or foolish?
It's fact if Lamar Jackson moves on.
Okay.
Foolish if Lamar Jackson stays.
That's valid.
I really like the Baltimore Ravens. Like, I really do. The Pittsburgh Steelers are always going to be in position. Mike Tomlin, 14, 15 years, no losing season. Who else do you have out there? So you have Pittsburgh.
You got the Bengals, too, though.
And then Cincinnati. And then you also have Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Ooh, Joe Burrow. Jeez, the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to say this is foolish. Let me stop acting foolish. Yeah. This is foolish. I forgot about Joe B. I forgot about him, Stack.
Yeah.
I like Joe B.
That fast.
They might be in the Super Bowl next year.
That fast.
I'm going to say foolish. But this is going – it might be the best division in football next year, though. I will say that.
Yeah, the way it's shaping out. Stack, what you think? Fact or foolish with this?
I will say foolish. Yeah. I just don't see it happening, man. I like the team. I like the way they're going. I just don't think it's going to happen yet.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a clean sweep, right?
Hey, hold on now.
My money's always on Joey B.
Yeah.
Joey B and chasing them. I just don't see nobody knocking them off their game.
Sean like that too, though. Let's stop now.
No, he is. I feel your game, B, and I know you know more about me on the situation. But yeah. I just think that cloud's still over the Browns.
Yeah.
They're cursed.
Yeah.
They are 100% cursed.
Yeah. So
they
are. We got a clean sweep of foolishness.
Corey, before we close the show, one of our producers wanted to double back and have this question answered that we asked yesterday since we have Stack.
Okay.
Is Damian Lillard a superstar?
He has his own shoe, and he is a superstar.
Okay. I can take that. He's one of my favorite players.
Dame Lillard is definitely a superstar on a sorry-ass team with a good coach. He got a good coach on a sorry team. And he's definitely a superstar. No question about it.
Love that.
For sure. I agree with that. Dame is definitely a superstar.
Well, I actually had a football question for Stack, too, before we go. Stack, which you, I know you a Cowboys fan, right?
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
What, you know?
What the Cowboys, what the Cowboys need to do to get over the hump, right? If they want to, if they want to get a Super Bowl title, what they got to do?
Well, we did good by getting Brandon Cook.
Yeah.
Getting the receiver. Well, we needed that. I think for the most part, our defensively, we solid. You know, we got everybody back. We had another cornerback. Gilmore, solid cornerback, another playmaker. So I think the Cowboys are going the right direction. Mm-hmm. It's going to all come down to what we say every year. Can Dak make the big plays? We always talk about all the stuff that people add, people and that. Nah, man, listen, Dak, is, he got everything he needs. He always has everything he needs. Mm-hmm. He has to make the plays when it count, man. That's what it all boiled down to.
Exactly.
Hey, and that's the show. I really appreciate y'all tuning in. We got people out. We up. Come back every single day except Friday. Friday, we like to enjoy ourselves here. We're doing a non-traditional route. So we're Monday through Thursday. Tap in with us. We out.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Kent State's reputation in the fashion industry is something you would hear from everyone when you're in New York City.
I will say we're quite well known for being hard workers.
Kent is really known for delivering well-rounded students.
Kent has one of the most prestigious fashion programs in the U.S. and also internationally ranked.
Our alumni are in every corner of the industry, every job position that you can imagine.
They all are ready. They have all the courses. They have everything under, you know, under their belt.